are back, baby.
We're back.
With a baby.
With a baby. Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Pending Nuptials, the podcast. We've been gone for a year.
Close to it.
Almost a full year.
Mm-hmm.
Our last one was end of March 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was my birthday. It was the last time we recorded.
That's how you remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Selfishly.
Well.
But, you know, we needed some time off. We had some things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things was trying to have a baby.
And try again. I love trying.
I know you love trying.
Don't you?
You like trying. You like practicing to try.
Am I alone here in the sentiment?
No, you're not alone.
Okay, I better not be.
No, absolutely not. It's fun. But we're coming back to you, season 3, episode 1, to tell you that we are, in fact, expecting our first child.
We are pregnant.
We are pregnant. When you are listening to this episode, we will be probably about 18 weeks pregnant, which is such a surreal thing to say out loud.
Yeah. With each passing week, it's like, oh, getting closer.
I know. In 2 weeks, we will be halfway through our pregnancy.
That is wild.
That is absolutely insane. So today, we're just going to kind of talk about our rainbow baby and trying to conceive after loss and just cover all the fun, juicy topics that are encompassed in that.
There's a lot to catch up on.
There is a lot to catch up on. And we're so happy that you guys are here listening to us. We've really, I'm speaking for myself, I've missed it.
Yeah. And it's been great having everyone's support that's listened to this and
absolutely
understood our situation.
Yeah. And, you know, for those of you who maybe aren't close to us and you've been wondering, like, where the hell did they go?
Where have they gone?
Well, now we're back.
Yeah.
And thank you for waiting for us. Thank you for giving us space. Thank you for giving us time. But we're back now.
It was worth the wait, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And they're listening, so I think they think so too.
Right.
Anyways, so I want to talk first off about, because if you've listened to our podcast in the past, thank you for coming back. If you're new to this podcast and you're jumping in on season 3, look at you. You're wild. That's crazy. But I mean, welcome.
I love doing that to a show, though. I think I've said this before.
Why?
Because I hate when people explain to me what's going on.
But
like, remember the new Star Wars? The one with old Harrison Ford?
Yes.
And Carrie Fisher's,
yes,
episode, what, 7?
Yeah, yeah.
They explained everything, and it was so painful to listen to them say, well, you know, Han, I haven't seen you in 40 years. It's like, no one would talk like that in real life.
So you're saying you don't like when the first few episodes catch you up on something?
I don't like when they think I'm a stupid audience member. I like figuring shit out on my own.
Right, but don't you miss all the background context of character development?
I'll figure it out.
Okay. Well, then you guys can figure it out too here at Pending Nuptials.
Yeah. If you're jumping in season 3.
But I will tell you, if this is your first time listening to us, we have struggled with loss of pregnancy in the past, which is why we're coming in hot talking about being pregnant, and we're very excited.
Very.
So I just wanted to kind of touch on trying to conceive after loss. So what were your feelings and emotions going into trying to get pregnant after we'd had our loss? Like, where was your mental state when we started trying again? Because I will say also that we couldn't just immediately start trying. There was certain things that had to happen in my body before we could begin trying to conceive again.
Biologically speaking.
Correct.
All right. I approached it with a level of compassion because this was much more traumatic for you, emotionally and physically. You had the entire gamut to run. My opinion only goes so far, and I was just wanting to be there for you with any turbulent time or instance that you would have to go through.
Yeah, and for me, it's a lot of times I felt like I was so in my head about, you know, moving forward and trying to conceive. And it's really hard to jump back into that, like, excited, positive way of thinking after having something so traumatic happen.
Yeah.
And we'll go into more of that, like, anxiety and, like, intrusive thoughts of negativity and things like that. But it's kind of a mental mindfuck, and like, you got to just like reframe how you're thinking about everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Did you feel like we had any additional pressure either from each other or from outside parties once we started trying again?
No.
You didn't feel that at all?
I don't think I did. Did you? If this is a topic, you must have been.
Well, no. Well, it's kind of a segue of like people get so invested in your fertility.
Oh, I see.
Of like close family and friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times when people know that you're actively trying, the question always arises is like, oh, you're not drinking today? And it's like, yeah, because I don't feel like drinking.
Yeah.
It's kind of a delicate tightrope to balance on. Oh, yeah. Of like being understanding of those people are just like excited for us. And on the other side of being like, mind your damn business.
Yeah. Mind your garden.
Like I wouldn't ever ask you how your sexual life is going with your husband.
Yeah.
Like, but because you know that my husband and I are trying to conceive, it's like that kind of tears away the sheet or
the veil
of asking intimate questions to people, whether or not they're appropriate.
So you're saying that you have had people in the past approach you uncomfortably about trying again or how?
I don't know if I would say it was uncomfortably. It's just like it was a matter of where I was in that moment in my own headspace.
Yeah.
Like if I was in a waiting period to take a pregnancy test and someone asked me that, I would be in my mind. I mean, I'm such a people pleaser, so I never really look at people and like lash out, and I wouldn't say that I'm actively a bitch to people unless mm-hmm. you've pissed me off.
Even then, I don't think you are.
Yeah, like I try and kill people with kindness, but in my mind I might be like, you fucking bitch, don't ask me that question.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how dare you? Don't know what I'm going through. I've got 5 more days until I can pee on a stick. Get off my back.
Ease up, lady.
Or like people knowing your cycle. That was weird.
Oh, yeah.
That was weird. Like, people would text and be like, hey, just wanted to check in. And I'd be like, just got my period 2 days ago. So it's like they would, like, mentally note the day. And they'd be like, okay, I'm going to check back with her in a month from today.
That's
and see
much.
Where she is. So, like, people knowing when to text me of, like, did you get your period? And it's like, why don't you kindly fuck off?
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, please don't ask me that question.
Gosh.
I'll tell you when I want to tell you.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a delicate balance of people just wanting to be supportive for you.
Yeah. And then them not knowing where the line is.
Correct.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Like not knowing like, hey, you're crossing a boundary.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why my word of 2022 is boundaries.
It's a great word.
It's a great word.
A great practice.
Yeah. For all aspects of life.
No kidding.
So the thing about that time of attempting to conceive, especially conceiving after loss, is, you know, finding the support when you need it and want it.
Yeah.
What brought you comfort and solace in that period of like, because it's really a giant period of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So what are things that brought you comfort and support during that time?
Probably getting back to basics with you.
That's good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So trying to go back to square one with doing everything I can for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is just like the cheesy husband.
Lay it on.
Pick me up.
Get me real cheesy. Ew, God, that sounded so gross.
Sounds kind of appetizing. Get you real cheesy. Some Gouda. Some fondue, honey. Yeah, just getting to know each other, spend time in each other's embrace. We had a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
I didn't have too much work during that time. And funny enough, when work did pick back up, it was fucking go time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to find the right window
right.
in which to practice and potentially conceive again.
Yeah.
And we really got lucky with the window that we
yeah.
had.
Well, and that's a good segue to another question and topic I had of like trying to keep it fun and lighthearted and trying not to make it so clinical and like,
yeah,
like sciencey, which is not a word, I'm aware, but, yeah.
But it's tough to, because you're going through all of this, the doctor's telling you what's happening and giving you all these new scientific words that I never knew before. You probably did, because you're a planner and you look into this much more in depth than I do. So in order for you to put that aside, it's got to be tougher than it sounds.
Well, and it's, again, it's another balancing act of like planning, because it's a miracle that people get pregnant in the first place, because it's the stars quite literally have to align in order for a woman to get pregnant. Like everything has to be perfectly in sync in her body when the intimate act takes place in order for you to become pregnant. So unfortunately, while trying to keep it fun and lighthearted and still make it sexy and trying to conceive a baby, there is a side of it that you do have to be clinical and you do have to track your cycle. And so for me, like, I tried really hard to not burden you with all of the, like, the sciencey part of it that was going on in my brain. Like, well, okay, so I had my period however many days ago, and I used an app to help me track, which made it so much easier. Yep. I used the Flow app. And so you can track, like, okay, I had my period this day, it ended on this day, so then ovulation should begin on this day. And I had ovulation tests. And when you pee on that stick and there's a smiley face on that ovulation test, it is go time. Like, you need to have sex in a 24-hour window in order for there to be even a chance that you could get pregnant.
Yeah, no pressure, guys.
Well, and that was the thing, what you're talking about when work started back up, is most often, which it just happened this way, I would be ovulating on a Friday, which means that you would be out of town. Yes. And I tried so hard to be like, make it feel like I was like coming on to you sexually in a casual way. Like, hey. Not like, hey, I'm ovulating, we need to get this done. But just like, hey, before you go, we should, you know, try.
Practice.
Yeah. Because I didn't want it to too much get into your head of like, this is our window. Go, 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 go.
Well, I never denied you. Believe me, I was always game for any rehearsal time.
I admire you about that.
That's it.
For that. Yeah, but it's just trying to keep it lighthearted, but also like, the window is short.
This is serious.
This is the window. This is go time. Something else that I did differently, and granted, we tried for a while. Mm-hmm. In between our loss and conceiving again, we tried for quite a while. And whether that was just timing was off, things weren't aligning correctly in my body, or there was stress or whatever it was, it took us a long time, which can be so draining.
Yeah.
And so just like disheartening.
Weeks feel like months.
Yeah. And so in October, I went on a trip with my best friend Arielle and our good friend Julie. And if you have listened to our podcast before, our friend Julie has also experienced loss, and she spoke on our podcast. I think it might have been our last episode.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Last episode.
So if that's something that's interesting to you, go check out the last episode, because my friend Julie, who is just, she is a sunbeam walking around on this earth.
Yeah, she has a way with words too.
She really does. So she and I went on a trip, and she and I had 2 4-hour car rides, just the two of us. And it was so, it just felt so good to be able to, one, talk to one of my really good friends who's gone through this experience,
oh, yeah,
but also someone like Julie, who is actually educated in this topic, because now Julie just has started her own fertility yoga company.
Which is awesome.
Which is amazing. And I'll share her information on our Instagram and our Facebook. So if anybody's interested, they can sign up for courses with Julie. And just like being able to talk with somebody and to be able to say like, oh my gosh, you know, that I get so neurotic in that 2 week window of wanting to test every single day. And I know that I shouldn't, because if I test too early, it's going to be negative, and then I'm going to be upset.
Let
and
down
I,
with yourself.
Yeah. And she's like, girl, like, I go through the same thing. So to be able to like have that time to just like throw it all up on somebody who completely understands.
Who's been there.
Oh my gosh. It just felt so good. And like that I wasn't crazy.
Sure.
In all of these things that I thought like I was being so, the word I keep bringing back up to my mind is neurotic. I was just being so like OCD about having a baby and conceiving and everything. Mm. So when we were talking, she had started talking about how she was cycle syncing, which is, you can go on Google and look it up. Or I turned to Pinterest and really dove in there. But essentially what cycle syncing is a woman has four different phases of her cycle. And each cycle, there are different like foods and activities that you can do and vitamins that you can be taking to support your body during that specific cycle. And so when we were together in October, I was thinking on that trip that there was a possibility that I could be pregnant. And I did not bring a pregnancy test with me because I was like, I need to be present in this weekend. We were celebrating Ariel's 30th birthday. And I just wanted to be with my friends and try not to stress about it. And I told myself when I returned home on Monday that I could take another test. But she, over the course of that weekend, she had told me about all these things that she had done to feel like she had some sort of control over her body, even though we really don't have a ton of control of what goes on. But me being a control freak, I was like, tell me more. So when I got back and I took a pregnancy test and it was negative, I was like, all right, I need to shift my way of thinking and I need to take control of this situation in my mind. Mm. And so I just really dove into research about cycle syncing, and I made specific foods for myself for different phases. I took different vitamins during different phases. There are different seeds. Like sesame seeds are great for you during, I think it's the luteal phase, because of the estrogen or whatever it is. And I'm totally pulling that out of my ass. I don't remember.
You had me fooled.
But stuff like that. And so it's just like you feel like you have some semblance of control during this process. And I'm not saying that that was like the make or break of why we got pregnant, but it just definitely helped me shift my focus on putting my energy into like fueling my body and allowing my body to do what it needed to do.
Things you can control.
Exactly. Yeah. Rather than just being like, why is this not happening? Mm-hmm. And just feeling kind of hopeless and helpless.
Yeah.
So I just thought that that was a great thing. If you're struggling with fertility and trying to conceive, I'm not a medical professional. I'm not saying that it's going to get you pregnant, but if you have issues with control, it really helped me shift my mental focus and find more positive energy through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what day we found out? I don't know if I wonder if I have it in my...
Well, it was after that trip.
It was, but I think it was November.
Right. It was pretty close to that because the first group of people we told were our immediate family, and it was in November, very close to Thanksgiving, maybe a week or two before.
We told your mom over Thanksgiving weekend.
Correct.
And so we must have just told my parents. Well, and actually, frankly, my mom guessed.
I know. It's hard to hide it from her.
Well, this is going to make me sound like an alcoholic, but if we are going to someone's house in an evening and we're like, we have like an event, like we were going to a show at the Opry and we went to my parents' house for dinner beforehand and I sat down and my mom was like, wine, cocktail, vodka. And I was like, I'm going to have a sparkling water. She's like, oh yeah? Huh. Are we, is there a reason? I was like,
and then wham, she figured it out. And we had an entire ruse lined up.
For sure.
Of how we were going to hide this and disguise
it. I was going to bring a LaCroix with me.
Yes.
Open a seltzer at her house, go into the bathroom, dump it out, and put my LaCroix in the seltzer. And I didn't even have time to do it.
It all happened so fast.
She called me out right before. And I have a hard time when someone's like blatantly asking me a question. I cannot lie to people like that.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. But I just... I was like, damn it.
Can't lie to your mama.
Exactly. Something that you had said as a support mechanism for me was in months past, you would see me take a pregnancy test probably too early. It would be negative, and you'd see me just like get so deflated.
Yeah.
And so you kind of told me, you're like, I think we need to practice patience and wait until you are officially late for your period,
mm-hmm.
which was hard for me.
Yes.
It was very hard for me because it's so easy. I bought like this big pack of like very cheap pregnancy tests on Amazon. It's like you get 100 tests for $20. And so it's not like the very expensive digital ones where you take an $8 test because, you know, you don't want to waste the money.
Yeah.
So the little cheap ones, I'm like, I can just do it real quick. It's no big deal. It's just, it's like pennies. It's no big deal. But the thing about that is I would get upset. And so I would tell you out loud for accountability for myself, because you would leave on the weekends and I could take a test and you would never know. But to be accountable to you and myself, I would say out loud, I am not going to test until this day. And so you would kind of like check in with me, because if, and people may not understand this part of trying to conceive, but there is a 2-week window that is just like, if people call it the 2-week wait, because you're literally just waiting to take a pregnancy test in the time that you attempted to conceive.
Gotcha.
And so, and it's nerve-wracking, and you're just like, I'm just waiting on tipping lights. Just
nope. Copyright will not allow that. What do you get? Cut flagged?
It. Cut it.
This episode's flagged.
But I think it was the day before. I think I had said, I'm going to wait until this Monday. Maybe, I feel like Monday the 14th was a day in November. I can't remember. I'd have to look at my calendar. But I was like, okay, Monday the 14th is the day that I can take a test. And you're like, okay. So you came home that Sunday, and I can't remember. It had to have been the evening. And I was like, ugh. And I was like a drug addict. I was like itching to just take
it. Gotta have it.
I was like, I just gotta take a test. And you I think could maybe see in me, you were just like, then just go take it. Like, if it's causing you this much turmoil, just go pee on the damn stick.
Yeah.
And so I took one of the cheap, like, little ones.
Oh yeah, this story.
Do you want to tell it? Go ahead.
Yeah, so she proceeds to take the cheapy test.
Which is literally, I mean, it's like a half
It looks like a litmus strip.
Yeah, it's super, super tiny.
Yeah, so she does her business on it and waits and waits and waits. And she's like, I think, yeah, I can totally see 2 lines. I'm like, let me see that. So I see it, and there was not one shade of difference from the white of the strip to the secondary pink. It's like you could tell that it was there if you were going to turn positive, but that was underneath the whiteness of it. I called your bluff so hard. I'm like, there's no way this
says
it's positive.
But that's the thing. They say you cannot see the second line
at all
if it's not going to be positive. So the fact that you could see that there was going to be something there, even though it was technically still a shade of white.
I'm shocked that they're so cheap.
But it did its job. And so then I started to get excited. I was like, oh my God, okay, wait, this might be something. So for this reason, I had the expensive digital clear blue test. And the other thing that I have learned in however many hundreds of pregnancy tests I have taken over the last year is that you don't pee directly on the stick. Your aim is always off, and it's much grosser. It's easier. Just pee in a cup and dip it in.
Pro tip, ladies.
Pro tip.
You listening?
Because the other reason is, if you take the cheap test and you think there's something there, you just pull out the expensive one and dip it right in the cup. You don't have to wait to have to pee again.
There you go.
So I got the expensive test out. I dipped it, and I flipped it upside down, and I left it on the bathroom counter, and I went into the bedroom, and I said, okay, we're just going to sit here, and I'm just going to think happy thoughts, and if it's not positive, it's fine. And like, that's kind of how the conversation would go constantly. So you can take it from here.
So Kate gave me the honors of checking the secondary,
the expensive test.
Yeah, that one. And I waited the allotted amount of time, what, 5-10 minutes?
I think it was less than that, but I had a timer on my phone.
And I looked at it, and it said pregnant.
Yeah, but what did you do?
Well, I had to figure out how I was going to present it to you. So I really downplayed it, and I said, what, this thing? I don't. What did I say? I'm like, I don't think this is right.
You were like, oh, this thing? Like, this thing that looks like a marker?
Yeah. And I was really nonchalant, trying to play cool, but I gave it to you and it said pregnant, and you immediately erupted in tears.
I bawled.
Tears of joy.
Yeah. And then I started, like, while I was crying and, like, hyperventilating, I was like, you thought I was crazy because I'm not mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, like, just a crazy that just begins a whole other
yeah.
set of emotions that begins.
But from our past experience, we were very cautious mm-hmm. around this time. Mm-hmm. So we did our diligence, went to all the doctor's meetings, didn't really tell anyone except for the real immediate family members.
Yeah.
And then slowly things progressed and got better, and all the doctor visits came back good and clear, and now we're still on cloud nine.
18 weeks, that's second
right.
trimester.
Woo.
And so you'll get to learn more about all of that, all of the first trimester, in the next episode, because yep. next episode is going to be a first trimester recap.
Great.
So we'll talk about symptoms, we'll talk about anxiety, we'll talk about the first doctor visit.
All the misery that it brings.
So stay tuned. Listen up maybe next week. I don't know when the next episode's going to drop.
Yeah.
For all the fun details about first trimester of this pregnancy.
That's right. Welcome back. Thanks for listening, and we will see you.
When we see you.
Yeah. Part two coming up.
All right. Hey.
Hi.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
We're having a baby.
We're having a baby.
Yeah. This... We should change the podcast to Pending Baby.
But that doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
Then we can find a new title for it.
Pending Fetus.
No, we have the
yeah,
fetus.
Yeah, that's true. We have the fetus. Pending Infant.
Pending Infant.
Pending Doomsday.
Oh, boy.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? I would have, and I hoped and prayed for this day.
Same. I love you.
I love you, too.